One. Hello, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Camden Podcasting Club. Today, I have a special guest on by the name of Scott Wright, and it is pleasure, absolute pleasure, to have him on. How are you doing,
Scott?
What
is up, guys? I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Dude, fantastic, fantastic.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here. So,
awesome, awesome. So, how would you describe yourself? If somebody were to ask you, like, who you are as a person?
I would say I'm a very, you know, simple kind of guy. I am someone who rejects the modern way of living, at least I hope so. You know, I want to kind of rise above everybody else and just kind of work on, work on myself and not focus on what, you know, everyone else in society is doing, you know?
Yeah, what would you say is like the modern mindset, I guess, in terms of high school then? Like right now, what do you think is the modern, I guess, ego, and how do you reject that?
Well, when I say modern, I would say more talking about just the modern world of consumerism. You know, we live in a society where, you know, everything is based on, you know, buying products and, you know, trying to, you know, sell products, whatever. You know, you can't go 5 seconds without seeing an advertisement for something. So, you know, I'm trying to mainly focus on, you know, creating a lifestyle where I can enjoy the non-material, you know?
Right. And what would you say that looks like on a daily basis? Like, what do you do differently, would you say?
Well, I wouldn't say right now I do much differently. You know, it's kind of hard to avoid, you know, buying products, you know,
or, yeah,
you know, you always want to go out and eat a Big Mac or something, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say just trying to focus on, you know, going outside, you know, trying to be more active, you know, and not just sitting home on the computer all day and, you know, stuff like that, you know, kind of, or just sitting at home playing video games. You know, I like to go out. I like to go for walks and, you know, enjoy nature. I know it kind of sounds, you know, so like basic and normal, but, you know, I just try to, you know, have like this mindset where I'm on a different, you know, wavelength than everybody else. And I think, you know, I definitely, you know, like kind of give in to a lot of what is, you know, in modern society when talking about consumerism and talking about, you know, this kind of like deracinated society of people that where everything is, you know, focused on, you know, like I was saying, you know, getting, you know, buy this product and then get excited for the next product, you know, or, you know, everything I think in culture is, you know, so sexualized and whatnot. So I try to, and now, like, I used to kind of have the same mindset as everyone else. And I think, you know, as I become, you know, more educated, you know, I feel as if, you know, at least mentally, I can kind of break away from that, you know, and realize, like, what, you know, I think is wrong, you know, and have kind of a moral code for myself.
Right. And that makes a lot of sense. And so much of that is really, I can relate to a lot of it because I remember in the past, like, you know, I used to spend my time all my life, you know, inside, you know, playing video games, not interacting with people. And I got to a point where I got sick of that and I wanted to create stuff and I wanted to, instead of just, you know, consuming, kind of like what you're saying, it's a completely different, perspective. And one thing I'm curious about is what was the moment that it like changed for you? Like, was there like a inflection point where you're just like, I can't live this way anymore?
For me, probably just like, I know this is kind of ironic, but I probably just browsing on social media and going on some of these kind of like, you know, fringe kind of like, and when I say fringe, I mean like the public thinks one way and then these people think another way, you know, about like the culture that surrounds America and, you know, and Europe and whatnot. I would say just, you know, kind of realizing like having people almost online make fun of me and, you know, oh, like you care so much about the next Star Wars movie or you care so much about the next whatever, you know, it kind of took that, like, you know, being made fun of and being shamed or whatever to kind of realize that, you know, maybe this isn't as important as I think. Now, I'm not saying that if you watch a Star Wars movie or something that you're like a bad person, you know. Yeah. But, you know, when I was constantly obsessing over these kind of materialistic things, I think when, you know, some like people online kind of put that in perspective for me, you know, that's when I kind of realized. And that really for me was very recent, you know, a couple months ago maybe is when I kind of, you know, broke free of this way of thinking that I think most people are kind of just have diverged into.
Dang. And like, was it like on a specific like forum that you can point to? Was it like Reddit or like, you know, 4chan or
something? I don't really use 4chan just because it's like all pornography.
It's kind of a cesspool.
it's kind of a cesspool. I you know, I think some of the memes on 4chan are funny, but I think overall, you know, 4chan is just kind of a crapshoot. I think it was Reddit. It was and Reddit, and mainly just kind of like reading more online about consumerism. You know, I used to be, and I've taken a big turn, not only culturally, my view on the culture, but my view on politics in general. You know, I used to be like a big capitalist, you know, a big kind of free market libertarian kind of guy. And, you know, I feel like I've definitely changed my way of thinking completely when it comes to basically every issue.
What's your viewpoint now, I guess, if you can give like a summary on that?
Well, I used to think like, you know, the GDP was everything and, you know, free market, you know, dictates all, and, you know, the free market will always, you know, regulate society. And I kind of realized that, you know, I really don't care about that. You know, I care more about the well-being of the people in the country than I do, you know, with how much money people are making or how much the GDP is, you know?
Yeah. No, and that makes a lot of sense. And it seems kind of controversial initially. And like, it makes you seem a little bit like, you know, like a socialist or something like that, which can have a bad connotation. But like, you think about the growth in the GDP over the years, and then you think about how wage growth has not followed that. And it's like, how much are people really benefiting from, you know, advancements in GDP? And it's just like...
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, yeah, that's exactly what we've seen. You know, over the past 50 years, we have seen wages, they've been either stagnant or they've gone down. You know, home prices have gone up, and, you know, our young people are going sometimes up to $300,000 in debt to go to a university to get a college degree that was basically worth what a high school degree would be 40 years ago. So, you know, I think a lot of our young people, Generation Z, you know, the Zoomers, are kind of, you know, realizing that, you know, maybe this whole material wealth thing isn't everything that we need in life. There has to be something more to it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's gotta. Otherwise, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you look at... I don't know if you've ever seen the rents in San Francisco, but if you're if you're looking in San Francisco, you need to be it's literally like $30,000 a year just to live. All that money just goes to your house, and that's not even counting for basic expenses and stuff like that. You need to be making $100,000 just to exist as a human being there.
Well, yeah, what's happening in California, I think, is very unfortunate. You know, such a beautiful state, and now it's just, you look at, you know, cities like Los Angeles and, you know, just the how people live there, and, you know, and how much they pay. You know, I saw this video about these really tiny bunk beds, and there was like 6 or 8 people living in one room, and rent per person was $1,200 a month. And, you know, something like that is just, I mean, ridiculous. You know, it's like you're not living like a human should, you know, and you're paying $1,200 a month for that. I think it's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, it's disgraceful. It's just like, especially in a country like America, where it's like, it's supposed to be the best, but it's like, what is this?
Yeah, I know. You look at it and you look at places like California and you go, this is not the United States of America. You know, this looks more like Brazil. You know, this looks more like Indonesia. It's not a place where, you know, humans, I think any human should have to like live in conditions like this. And I might be a little over exaggerating, but I think a lot of parts of California, you know, like more in the northern area of California are nice. You know, it's still very expensive, but, you know, just like the cities and just how, you know, the homeless population keeps rising in California. So, yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, and it's also really easy to be homeless in California because it's warm, it's nice. If you're on the East Coast, then if you're homeless, you can straight up die in the winter. But yeah. Not going to happen as easily on the West Coast.
That's true.
So a little bit of a topic switch is high school. Like, what do you think of high school in general? And I guess the mindset of it.
I think high school really depends on the location. You know, I look at my high school and, you know, I think it's very cliquey. You know, I think people just kind of, you know, form these groups and they just kind of file into their respective, you know, groups of people and then they just stay. And, you know, it's kind of hard to get out or get in another group when they're already established.
It's really interesting that you say that because I've talked to a lot of other people on the show and what they say is that, you know, our school is special in that you can really be with any group. You can vibe with anyone, that there's no barriers to being, I guess, a jock or like a nerd. And then you're saying the complete opposite. And I can't say I disagree with you. I think you've got a point there. But can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think that. I think the people at our school are generally, you know, very nice. You know, I think the culture is generally very, you know, a very nice, you know, kind of, we live in a nice area, you know, the culture is great, you know, but I just think that, you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with this necessarily, you know, this, you know, people are going to do this, you know, humans are tribal by nature, you know, we are going to look for people who are like us and we are going to stick with those people. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's actually a good thing in a lot of cases. But, you know, I just think something about the culture of, you know, Camden is, you know, very just kind of, you know, like I said, cliquey. And, you know, I personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, that's just something that I've noticed, you know, and I kind of like it the way it is, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's like, that's a bad thing. And I think you're right, you know, like you can be smart and you can be, you know, a jock or whatever, you know, you can play sports, you can do whatever. It's not like you know, high schools are portrayed in like movies or TV shows, but I think, you know, TV shows are extremely, extremely inaccurate when it comes to, you know, portraying this kind of high school living style, you know?
Yeah. So if, in your words, how would you describe the different, I guess, groups that, I guess, of Camden? Like, what do you think connects them versus, you know, TV shows?
Well, you know, I think academics is a big thing. You know, these smart kids are going to, you know, be friends with the other, or I mean, the kids in like AP classes, you know, honors classes, they're going to hang with, you know, the other kids in those classes. And then the kids who are more, you know, prone to playing sports are going to hang with those kids, you know. And, you know, I don't see anything, you know, I think that's totally fine. I think that, you know, it allows for, you know, a community to strive, you know, if you have these respective groups. But, you know, I also think that, you know, it's not impossible for, you know, groups to merge or, you know, people to get along with others. I think people get along with other people very well at Camden.
Do you think they've, Camden as a whole, they've treated you well and it's been a good experience for you, or?
For the most part, you know, I think, you know, I've enjoyed it. You know, I would say I'm definitely excited to, you know, go to college and, you know, kind of be on my own, you know, be independent. But that's more of a home living thing where I want to, you know, make my own money, have my own apartment, do my own thing, you know. That's more of what I'm focused on.
Right. So what are your like main passions, would you say? Like what drives you, you know, keeps you awake at night?
Well, probably just, you know, to, you know, be my own boss, you know, have my own business. That's what I want to do. You know, I'm majoring in corporate entrepreneurship. So, you know, I really want to, you know, make my own wealth, start my own, you know, company and have, you know, people working for me as opposed to me, which I'm doing right now, which is working for someone else.
Gotcha. And how do you think you've changed from, I guess, middle school to high school to, I guess, now, you know?
I've definitely, I feel like from middle school to high school, I used to think that, like, I used to just conform to society. You know, I think I used to conform to this idea that, you know, if you get the most girls, if you, you know, are the coolest, I used to think that that were the funniest. That's like the number one thing, you know, that's like what everyone wants to be. And I feel like I've definitely kind of matured in a way where, you know, that's not really that, you know, that's all great and everything, but it really in the big picture, it really doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. And I think I mean, obviously that's the right perspective to have, but I mean, it's such a hard thing. I mean, even now, like, I mean, there are times where it's like, you know, I guess I'm chasing this girl. I'm doing this one thing. And I know that in the long term, it's meaningless. But I mean, in that moment, like, it's just like, you know, I feel like, well, I have to do this.
What's the saying? There's plenty of girls out there and they're all the same. You know, that's kind of how I think, you know, I used to get caught up. I used to get really caught up on like one person, you know, and I would just like think about them all the time and just have this very unhealthy mental relationship with them. And, you know, just this kind of obsession. And that was another kind of big, like, I guess you could say red pill for me was, you know, this is pointless. This is not healthy. I'm wasting my time. I'm obsessing over someone who, you know, really isn't that special, you know, really isn't that interesting. You know, I want to focus on myself, you know, over any other person. And, you know, although I do think that, you know, having relationships is, you know, very important. You know, I think having relationships is important and a healthy thing to have, but obsessing over someone is definitely not, yeah, you know, a healthy thing to do.
But like, why is it important at all though? I mean, you've got yourself. I mean,
that's a very good point. Very good point. You know, I think you're, like you were saying, you know, in the long run, it really doesn't make a difference. But I would say that if a relationship is going to happen, it is going to happen naturally. You know, there's no way you can force it. So, you know, if you're not having luck with, you know, getting into a relationship or something like that, the right person will come. You know, the right relationship will come naturally, you know.
Huh. And I know that's easy to say now, but like, you know, for some of my friends who've had, you know, absolutely no luck, right? You know, they haven't gone on a single date ever. I mean, and they're 18 years old, man. You know, never had their first kiss. You know, I feel like after a certain point, it's like, you know, they're not really looking for love. They just want to check off that box on that list. You know, like, you know, I want to be like a true person now. Like, what do you say to somebody like that?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly like, you know, a huge go-getter. You know, I'm not exactly like super, you know, I've been in, I've been in two relationships and both have not worked out well. And, but I would just say that, probably just, you know, it's doesn't feel good, obviously. I would say just, you know, focus on yourself. You know, if someone else doesn't, you know, really want you, then there's nothing you can do about it, you know. And it's just kind of accepting that fact, you know. It's like accepting, like, okay, you know, maybe, you know, okay, this didn't work out, this is not going to happen maybe right now. And, you know, I think college kind of opens up a lot more opportunities for stuff like that, you know, for relationships where, right, you are around so many more people, so many more different kinds of people, you know, that maybe you feel more like you can connect to. So I would say, you know, definitely just kind of realize that, okay, listen, the cards are stacked against you. And also another interesting, you know, fact about, you know, and this is just kind of the nature of women is, you know, I looked this up, 80% of the women are with 20% of the guys, you know, 20% of the Chads, you know, whatever you want to call them. Right. So the cards are stacked against us, you know, average guys, you know, or below average. And, you know, it's tough, you know, out there in a world like this for a lot of young men. And, you know, I think that's why a big reason why the male suicide rates are as high as they are, you know, something like 80% of the suicides in the United States are male. I think it might be a little less than that.
You know, it's astounding. It's insane. Yeah.
And, you know, and that's also part of the culture, which I despise, you know, this kind of culture where, you know, men really aren't, thought of as, you know, having this sort of like, you know, like incels, you know, they call them incels, you know. Incels are hated by not only women, but, you know, people like, but these, you know, society in general, you know, this. And I think, you know, I don't know if you've seen the movie Joker or not. But
yeah, I've seen it. Think, amazing movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. You know, I think the movie Joker really shows like, here we have this kind of this male that, you know, is just so hated by society and, you know, what that kind of pushes him to do, you know, to become this evil person. So I think, you know, there has to be a culture which accepts these people, you know, and, you know, you're a human, obviously, you know, you're important to us. We care about you, King, you know.
King, yeah, let's get it.
You know, and I think a lot of, you know, people like to talk about social media, how social media has been very bad for a lot of people. And I think, you know, in a lot of ways that's true. But I think also, you know, social media has been good for, you know, these kind of groups of young men to connect, whether it be 4chan or Reddit or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I get you. I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's tough to kind of, you know, female nature is an interesting topic. You know, women obviously want the, you know, the tough kind of bad guy or whatever. And I would say the vast majority of men don't fit into, you know, what a woman would want. And I looked this up as well. I don't have any sources for these. So, you know, the viewers will just have to fact check me. But, you know, something like women find like 20% of guys attractive. And that's just something that, you know, we have to accept. And, you know, okay, you know, it's not a big deal. This is just the nature of women. It's, you know, that's just how they are. You know, men, their mindset, you know, if you're talking about from a primitive perspective, because really we are just all animals. We're all just primates. You know, men want to spread their seeds. That's why we want to bang like everything, you know, and women, you know, seek protection from a strong figure. And that's just human nature. And we see this all throughout the animal kingdom as well.
Hmm. There's a lot of truth to that. And I do wonder, though, I mean, I do feel like guys aren't completely different. I do feel like, you know, guys, you know, you find a certain, you know, you find the majority of women unattractive. You find a certain, I feel like even in school or work, you find the same, I guess, you know, hot girls attractive. I don't think it's a large amount.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, well, I would definitely agree with you on that. You know, I would definitely agree that the more attractive women, you know, get a lot more attention. But I would say that the, you know, women who are kind of lower on the attractiveness scale, you know, get a lot more attention than guys who are, you know, on the lower attractiveness scale. You know,
sure, yeah,
like short, like, you know, guys that are like short or, you know, not huge. You know. Hmm.
And I agree with that. And on a little bit of a different topic, I wanted to talk about, you know, drugs. I don't want to talk about vaping in particular. So what do you think attracts people to drugs, especially in high school? That, like, I mean, you see entire cliques around just drug use. And I guess that extends out of high school into the real world. But what do you think in high school brings people?
Well, you know, I have a very personal connection with this topic, you know, especially the vaping topic, you know. I was definitely attracted to it because, you know, it looked cool, you know, and that was basically it. You know, it just looked cool and, you know, I started to do it and it, you know, it felt good. So kept doing it and, you know, kind of, you know, screwed my brain over, you know, and now I have this like chemical, I don't know what you would call it, this like chemical imbalance or something where, you know, I just kind of, I'm always kind of thinking about it, you know, and that I feel like the culture around it is very, it's just, to me, looking back, you know, and this is part of my kind of enlightenment, I guess you could call it, you know, it's just so stupid to me now, you know, and, you know, now that I kind of have this like addiction, which I've been fighting for past couple months, really trying to kick the habit and it's, you know, been tough. But, you know, I think that it's not a good thing. You know, I think it's very stupid. I think it's pointless to someone who's, you know, wasn't a smoker before.
What do you think the culture, like, can you describe the culture? Because, you know, you have a unique perspective that I think a lot of our viewers don't have. It's just that you've been there. And what can you tell us about it?
The culture, I mean, the people are just losers. They're just like, they're just like a bunch of jack-offs, you know? Like, that's the culture I would describe it. You know, it's like very just so stupid, you know, going in the bathroom every block and, you know, so you don't feel like crap. It's just like, it's miserable. You know, it's not a fun way to live. So, you know, and I'm right now, I'm in the process of trying to, you know, just completely just forget about it. But it's tough, you know, when you modify the chemistry in your brain like that.
Yeah. And what do you think are some things that, like, you know, people don't realize, you know, initially about drugs? I mean, about,
probably I would say just the negative repercussions mentally. You know, I just think that they kind of just take a toll on you. You know, every time you do a drug, you know, it modifies the chemistry in your brain. And, you know, a lot of that isn't permanent. You know, a lot of that, you know, can be, you know, helped with, you know, just like reading a book or working out or trying to, you know, get the natural dopamine, you know, back in your brain, the natural kind of like norepinephrine back in your brain from, like, you know, exercise, from eating healthy, stuff like that. So, you know, I think it opens up a lot of other unhealthy habits, like eating unhealthy, not exercising, you know, not doing work, etc. That's what I would say is the most detrimental thing about it, you know, because you're always focused on that. You're not focused on anything else.
One thing that I've found that it's really, really interesting about vaping in particular is that, like, one of the largest health emergencies in the United States is smoking. Like, because it's like the third leading cause of death is smoking. And so when people invented vaping, e-cigarettes, it was meant to be a really good thing. It was meant to wean people off of smoking that causes lung cancer and save a lot of lives. And the FDA was actually really in support of it. And then when they found out that it was exploding in middle schools and high schools, they were left with a conundrum. Like, do they abandon all the adults who are, you know, using e-cigarettes to get off of smoking, or do they save, like, all these potential new smokers from starting smoking with advertisements? And it was a real conundrum, because if they put out ads saying that vaping is bad, then that's going to stop people who are, you know, are addicted from actually, you know, I guess saving their life from something that's much worse, which is actual cigarettes. And curious to what you think about that.
I don't know. You know, I would say that, in my opinion, you know, I think I used to be a libertarian. You know, I used to think that the government shouldn't regulate anything. You know, the government should stay out of our lives. Now I've definitely changed. You know, I've definitely changed when it comes to that. So, you know, I think that if the government is going to take precautions to make sure that stuff like this doesn't get into the hands of children, you know, and it gets into the hands of adults instead, you know, I fully support the new law that, you know, says you have to be 21 now, I think it is, right? That's a nationwide law.
Yeah.
You have to be 21 to get, so I support that. You know, I think it is the government's, I think it is the state's kind of, it's in their power to keep the people of the country safe, you know? So I think most drugs should remain illegal, and including, you know, I think that there definitely should be some kind of regulation. You know, I'm not one of these guys who's like, you know, take the flavors off, you know, that's like a boomer talking point. That's not going to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think to some point there has to be some kind of regulation. Although, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I'd rather have it be legal. You know, I don't want it to be illegal. Because then, like you were saying, you know, the people who need it aren't going to be able to get it.
Yeah. And another thing I was interested in was, do you think that, like, you know, drug use is more prevalent in, like, you know, certain groups, like, you know, like certain cliques, or if it's just general
widespread? Well, I would say that, you know, there are a lot of kids who are trying to fit in. And so, you know, whether that be... And, you know, I think a lot of kids that probably are, you know, depressed or have some sort of, like, depression or anxiety disorder or something. And they kind of feel the need to, you know, self-medicate with, you know, with drugs to, you know, make them feel better. You know, I think we see this with every group. you know, whether it be drinking at parties or something like that. You know, I think that is just kind of, you know, a way to kind of numb out, you know, reality. And I'm not super opposed to all of it. You know, I think at some point it's really not, you know, that bad, but I think a lot of it is just, most of it is just kind of, you know, escaping reality, you know?
And yeah, I agree with that. And I do think that, it's an escape from reality, but I would guess that like at parties, it's more of just like a social thing. I mean, you know, just to, I guess, numb your anxieties a little bit. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with you there. Yeah, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not super opposed to it or anything, you know, but I think it can open up some bad situations. You know, I think a lot of that stuff can kind of cause, you know, some bad stuff to happen, you know, with relationships or with, you know, obviously with this whole, you know, the law where it's like, well, you know, if you have sex when you're drunk, it is, well, if you have sex with someone who is drunk and you're sober, that's rape. You know, I think it can cause a lot of bad situations like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing I wanted to talk about was like, I guess just friends and authenticity of friends in high school. Because I feel like there's a lot of, I don't want to say non-genuine friends, but I, you know, a lot of people that you can't depend on.
And, oh, absolutely. Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to know, like, how do you differentiate? What are some experiences that you've had there? I guess I can talk a little bit from my personal experience. Like, I did, I don't want to call out this specific group, so I'll obfuscate it. So let's just call them, let's just say it's, music, right? Let's just say it's a music group. And, you know, I met a bunch of kids there, a bunch of cool kids, and there was always tons of drama. And then what I would do is, you know, the people who introduced me, I'd always take their side in the drama, right? And then eventually I would, I don't even know how to describe this, but like in groups where there's tons of drama, in these large groups where they're always bringing in new people, you always end up outside of it. Like, you know, these people, they make up without you. And then like suddenly, you end up defending people who I guess don't want to be defended. And I'm going on a little bit of a tirade here, but, what I'm trying to say is looking back at that experience, I don't talk to any of the friends that I made through that experience at all. And a lot of sports I did, I don't talk to any of those people now, currently. And it makes me wonder, like, were those people genuinely my companions, or was it just circumstance?
I would definitely say it's circumstance. You know, I think a lot of people are not very genuine. I think there are a lot of good people, and I think there are a lot of, you know, people who aren't necessarily maybe bad people, you know, mean-spirited, but just really don't care about you, about, you know, your life. It's just kind of like you said, you know, they just kind of come into your life and then they leave.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of that is just kind of accepting that, you know, stuff like that happens, and it's, and it maybe doesn't feel good, you know, especially if you have a connection to that person and they don't, you know, reciprocate that back to you and just kind of, you know, forget about you. I think you, what you were talking about when it comes to trust, you know, I've always kind of been, I think I'm naturally just a trusting person.
Yeah.
And I've definitely kind of learned over the years that, you know, you really can't trust, I would say, most people. You can have some sort of trust in them, but not to the extent you would trust a family member or a very good friend that you've known for a long time. You know, never, my advice is never put, you know, too much trust into a person, because you never know what their motive, you never know, you know, really what's going to happen in the long run, you know, whether they're going to use something against you or whatever.
And you're right, and it feels kind of cynical a little bit, because it's like, you know, you can't trust anyone, but every single time I break that rule where it's like, you know, yeah, like this person seems really awesome, I'm gonna tell them everything, it always comes back to bite you.
Yep. Oh, and that's another thing, you know, people talk, you know, I have told people things, and every single every single time, I don't think I've ever, there's like two or three people who I would like trust with telling them information, you know? And, like they're like the people that like I know is not going to get out, but everyone else will start blabbing, you know, everybody else, because people love to gossip. People love to talk about other people. And, you know, so that's what I would say is, you know, if you have some sort of information, whether it be someone you like, or, you know, some sort of, you know, sensitive information that maybe you think is a big deal, but the other person doesn't think is a big deal, they will blab. You know, they will blab and they will tell other people. And then those, even if they tell one other person, that's all it takes.
Yeah, absolutely.
To start stemming out. So with that, you know, with sensitive information, I say don't trust anybody, you know, unless, to your discretion, you know, to someone who you've been friends with for years, you know, you have like a serious kind of brotherhood with them, you know, then I would say, okay, you know, maybe, you know, you can evaluate, you know, whether or not you should tell them that. But I would say the majority of sensitive information, keep that to yourself. And for me, that took a lot of time to learn. You know, for me, that took a lot of bad lessons, you know, a lot of stuff that I told people that got out there and I didn't want to be known, you know. So it's definitely a learning process. And I think high school has taught me a lot about, you know, stuff like that, you know, relationships and who do you tell, like, what do you tell to certain people?
Why do you think people do that? Why do you think people are so addicted to gossip? What do you think it is?
I think people just like entertainment. You know, I think a lot of people just like to, you know, be entertained by what other people, you know, want in their lives. And they really don't, you know, care if it works out or not. You know, if you like somebody and you don't want them finding out, you know, you have this kind of connection to that person that no one else really might have. And if you tell someone who doesn't have that connection with that person, it doesn't mean as much to them.
Yeah.
You know, that sensitive information isn't sensitive for them. So they see no problem in telling someone else.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say is why people, you know, people like to talk. People, and this, you know, people just like to, you know, entertain themselves with what's going on in other people's lives.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people forget that, like, at its root, like, you know, high school life is, it can be really, really boring and really pathetic. Like, you just wake up, you go to classes, you study for your classes, you go to sleep, and then repeat. It's so, if you think about it at its core, it's so mind-numbingly, like, basic and boring. So, of course, people have to invent gossip and stuff just to infuse their lives with just a little bit of meaning, because it's boring. I mean, it's like, what else do you do?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, not just in high school, but I would say, I would say definitely high school, you know, because especially if you have a job too and you're working a lot, like I work Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights, you know, so really I just kind of am like always in this process of like every week is the same for me, you know, every week is the same. There's no really like there are certain activities that I do that make it different, but you're talking about the majority of the time that I spend is spent on the same things, on the same days, the same kind of thinking. And, you know, I definitely think that can, you know, and I think, you know, connecting this to, you know, a lot of the, you know, the earlier, you know, I don't think we've seen one for a while, but, you know, a lot of the school shootings that were happening, you know, I think this kind of just repetition, this kind of, you know, what do they say the definition of insanity is, you know, doing the same thing and over and over again, or something like that, and not getting different results. I forget the quote exactly, but, you know, I think maybe not all of it, but I think maybe a part of it is this kind of, you know, this neoliberal, you know, establishment that we have, you know, with the school systems, you know, with the public schooling systems, I think can definitely drive someone, or at least play a part in driving someone over the edge to do something crazy like that.
Yeah. And I completely agree. And like one of the most ridiculous things about, high school, and this is just like on the equality of high schools in general, is that it's made by property tax money. So depending on how rich the schools are, the houses are around you, it completely changes the quality of your education. So
that's definitely. Well, that's where I've kind of, you know, sacrificed a lot of my, you know, previous capitalist beliefs, you know, and, you know, to a more kind of economy that, you know, where there is some sort of, you know, subsidy, there's this kind of like social democracy, you know, where the wealth is, to a certain extent, is redistributed.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And I believe, like, this is around the end of our time. I believe you have to go sometime right now.
I can hang on for like 10 more minutes.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. So one more question is, are you happy with yourself at the moment? Are you happy, and how did you get to this happiness, or what is making you unhappy?
You know, I would say right now I'm happier than I ever have been, you know, in the past, I would say 4 or 5 years. You know, I was definitely kind of, you know, always down on myself. And, you know, with the combination of getting rid of bad habits, eating healthier, going outside and, you know, exercising and running, you know, I do a lot of running now, and I feel a lot better mentally, you know, and I think mental, you know, health is, you know, extremely important. You know, I think this whole kind of like, well, if you get jacked and, you know, you work out all the time, you know, you'll be happy. I think mental, just kind of like mental happiness is very important. And I think a lot of that, you know, has to do with, you know, having more of these social interactions with, you know, people who are going to treat you right, you know, people who aren't going to screw you over, you know, and whether that be the cool kids or not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and really just kind of finding yourself, who you are, who you associate with. I think that is a super important part of, you know, becoming more mentally healthy. And so, yeah, I would say,
go ahead.
So, yeah, I would say I'm definitely, and also the prospect of college too, you know, for me, independence is like super important, you know, and living by myself and, you know, making, you know, having this opportunity for me to, you know, make my life how I want to, you know, live my life how I want to, you know, make the decisions, and that's all on me. And, you know, that's something that I'm really excited for. So,
yeah, I feel like taking responsibility for your life, like when you have control over your life, it completely changes like your perspective. When everything depends on you, suddenly, I don't know. I feel like it's like an antidepressant. I feel like some of my darkest moments in my life have been when I feel like I'm failing all the time and I have absolutely no control over it. Like nothing I can do will change my situation. But I feel like even when things are worse, like say I have really bad grades, but I know that I have control over my grades. I know if I study, they're getting better. And it's like, say I have like a C, but I've been putting in the hours studying and I can see the results from that. That is one of the best feelings for me personally.
Yeah, so. Definitely. You know, I think that, you know, control, like you said, is super important. You know, if you have no control over what's going on in your life, then, and you know, everything's going to crap, then, you know, you definitely are going to feel very upset, you know, very out of this control. So I would totally agree with you that, you know, having that ability, having that control to, you know, to understand what is going wrong and knowing that not only how to fix it, but that you can fix it, you know, I think that's super important.
Yeah. And one more thing is, like, what do you think about, like, you know, school, like, I guess, like, social events, like dances and stuff, like sports games? Are you the type of person who participates in stuff like that or not? And why not?
Yeah, occasionally. I think I went to a couple of the games at Camden this year. I enjoy them. You know, I think it's good. I think it's a very, you know, healthy experience. You know, I think it's good for people to kind of get out and, you know, root for the team. You know, I think that's super important. But I'm not a huge sports guy in general, so I'm not really into the game. I'm more into the people that are there.
Yeah, same. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So I think, you know, if you're going to like a high school or college, you know, football game, you don't have to enjoy what's going on the field. You know, you can just enjoy the people who you're with. And I think that's a big part of why people, they're so popular.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so true. And what would you say is your biggest, I guess, regret from all of your high school experience? From going all the way back to elementary school, what do you think is the biggest regret that you wish, knowing now all the information that you have, would you have changed?
Probably just like having this view of like, you know, having like getting like a girl is like the most important thing, or like being, you know, funny or being popular is the most important thing, you know. And I think that's a view that is ingrained in a lot of people, a lot of young people, especially, you know, young men. But, you know, I think that if I had this mindset that, you know, none of this really matters, you know, or, well, it does, but, you know, none of like that kind of material stuff really matters. It's more about, you know, having a good work ethic, having a good group of friends that, you know, you can relate to, that you can trust. I think that is, you know, if, you know, the one thing I regret is not realizing the truth. And, you know, the thing is, like, my parents told me all this, and, you know, I was always kind of the rebel, you know, I was kind of always like looking to rebel. So like, I didn't really care what they said. You know, I wish I had been mature enough back then to have listened to my parents and, you know, and realized that, you know, that they're right, you know, about basically everything, you know, that really my parents, looking back, were right about basically everything. And a lot of the times I wouldn't listen, you know, I'd kind of rebel against them.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Scott, for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
It's been an awesome episode, and see you guys all on the next episode. Also, a key supporter of the podcast is the Minecraft website, play.stratus.network. Be sure to check them out if Minecraft is something that you're into.